This podcast on Sports360AZ.com is brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers. We appreciate the Valley Hyundai dealers and their support.
Now, the Brad Sessmann Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network studios.
It's good Monday. Thanks for being with us. We are going to have Brandon McGee with us today. It'll be nice to have Brandon on board. Hey, Jared, the volume on one of these monitors is up, so we'll get that fixed. So Brandon McGee will be with us coming up at about 10:50, and we'll talk with him about the ASU-U of A game. And I hope you had a great weekend. I did. I was all over the place between kids' stuff, family coming into town for Thanksgiving, and, of course, watching ASU on Saturday afternoon, U of A Saturday night. I went out to the Castile ALA 3A semifinal game, working on a story that'll be on the TV show this week. And then yesterday saw the Cardinals game on DVR because it was just a fabulous day yesterday. It was such a great, oh man, this time of year, I want it to be 50 degrees and gloomy and feel like fall and everything. It's supposed to be a record day on Thursday for heat. So I'm going to have to go play golf. I was texting with a friend yesterday about the Cardinals game, and we'll get into that, his observation of Blaine Gabbert, and I talked to Eric this morning about it on the way in, and several other people that have weighed in on what they saw out of Blaine Gabbert yesterday. So we have plenty of open space today because I just want space, because there's just too much going on. Tomorrow I'll have Peter King with us. We will have our television show up on Wednesday on the site, along with our Friday Night 360 AZ program. That'll take us through the holiday weekend, and then we'll be back to normal next week. So today and tomorrow we are here, and then we'll have our best of on Wednesday from the television show if you've not been able to see our TV show on Fox Sports Arizona. Let's get you caught up what is on my mind. It's brought to you by Sagicor. Sagicor now. Protect what matters most, guys. You know it during this holiday season. You know, you may be putting some things off. It's the time to do it. Sit down and think about it. Go through your finances towards the end of the year. Sagicor now. We appreciate Sagicor and their support on what we do here. Sagicor now. Thanks to them. All right. So Nathan Peterman is probably where I want to start today's show. I don't like seeing train wrecks. I really don't. I mean, we don't want to see, like, the Suns on Thursday night gave up 90 and a half. 90 and a half. Nathan Peterman yesterday threw five picks in a half. I talked last week about coaches that need to be fired at halftime, how entertaining that would be for all of us. Go to a game and the coach doesn't come out for the second half. You're gone. I don't know if Nathan Peterman is ever going to play again in the National Football League. If you didn't see what happened to the poor Buffalo Bills quarterback, it was the most interesting thing to me over the weekend. I hope he's able to come back. I don't relish in seeing somebody just implode. It goes above him. Buffalo is a team that's already won five games. You know, it's not like Bruce Arians is sitting here with injured quarterbacks. That's one thing. In Buffalo, they'd won five, and Tyrod Taylor's a pretty good quarterback. But of course, when I read what's going on in Buffalo or see on social media what's going on in Buffalo, we need a change and Tyrod's this. And so Peterman comes in and he does nothing. In fact, he does so much of nothing. The defense of Buffalo gave up 30 plus yesterday by halftime. That game was over. I tried to make it through the Cardinals game from start to finish on the DVR, and I actually did, but it took me a couple of times. I had to walk away. Let's be honest, even if you're the most ardent Cardinal fan, what you saw yesterday was, I don't know, third preseason game in August, right? I mean, there's starters that are out there that are trying to do something, but just had that feel about it. Yeah, Jadeveon Clowney was out there chasing around Blaine Gabbert. I don't blame Blaine Gabbert for what happened yesterday in terms of the interceptions. He threw three touchdowns. There's a different feel. To me, if this is the direction that the organization wants to go, because let's be honest here, guys, there's big issues on this roster. Wide receivers can't catch outside of number 11. They can't catch. I've seen enough of and heard enough of, you know, if J.J. Nelson can just, he's got such great speed and he's going to be that difference maker. And how many times has he broken your heart? You know, I've seen enough of Andre Ellington here in Arizona. And yesterday I didn't see Andre Ellington on the field. Wasn't even active. And I'm not going to get into the who, what, where, when's, why. It's just look at the roster and the players that they have at certain positions. Obviously, when they go up against a pretty good run defense, Adrian Peterson doesn't do much. You can sit here and analyze it. You can do show, you can do files and hours of offensive line play. Fans don't want to hear that. Fans want to see results. That's how it is here in Arizona. You don't see results, you're going to move on. It's like watching the Suns game last night against the Bulls, pretty good opponent, and there's family and friends there. There was nobody at that game last night. I mean, I'm watching, there's empty seats. They're trying to shoot it as low as possible to not make it look horrific. It looked horrific. So we're just not going to be patient here in Arizona. We're just not. Unless you come up to the podium and stand in front of everybody and say, look at what Philadelphia did with Carson Wentz, and this is what we're going to do here. There may be something there with Blaine Gabbert. And Bruce Arians is right. He did play on bleepy teams in the past. Okay? I did see some things out of him yesterday, but really, we're in a division where if you're going to use a recycled quarterback, he better be really good. Like Case Keenum good in Minnesota. Look at what Case Keenum has done in Minnesota. All of a sudden, Teddy Bridgewater's not a factor. Look at how Minnesota moved on from Adrian Peterson. And as hurtful as it was to some Vikings fans, it was the right thing to do. The Vikings took a dip, but they bounced right back. The Eagles, when they brought Carson Wentz in, were horrific. They were horrific initially. They traded away LeSean McCoy, and they couldn't figure it out what direction they were going to go. They were a hard team to watch, and people sat there and made fun of them. But you know what? Now they're set up for a long run of success. 9-1. I'd take that. Young quarterback, they went through the growing pains. I'm willing to go through 6-10 and 4-12. I'm willing to go through that here in Arizona. I know that most people aren't. I get it. David Johnson is in the prime of his career. You don't want to burn years off of a running back and have a quarterback that's getting killed back there. But I think as the NFL has gone through the years, the idea of you need to take a rookie quarterback and you don't want to put him on the field because he's just going to get the snot kicked out of him and he's going to get the game kicked out of him and he's not going to be any good anymore. Those days, if you have the right people around them, I believe are gone. Deshaun Watson was pretty darn good. Got hurt in practice. Carson Wentz, we see what's going on with Carson Wentz. Yeah, I know. You could go the other side on this. I know. I get it. There's a lot that come in that don't make it. Pat Mahomes is sitting there behind Alex Smith, and now there's some Chiefs fans that are saying, when are we going to see Pat Mahomes out on the field? Brock Osweiler comes in yesterday and looks about as uninterested in playing football and unmotivated. If you're a Denver Bronco fan, you talk about an absolute disaster at quarterback all the way across the board. You burned a one on Paxton Lynch. You don't believe enough in him. Trevor Siemian can't get it done. And Brock Osweiler comes back to you after shunning you, and he can't play. Yeah, you see DeShone Kizer down in Cleveland getting his head kicked in. But I've sat here for a couple of years saying they've got to take a quarterback. They've got to address the situation. And maybe Blaine Gabbert is that guy that's going to make you 8-8, 9-7. Sure, you could make the argument, we need to turn our first-round pick into something other than a quarterback. You can make the argument right now that their wide receiving core is desperate to have a first-round pick and an injection in life. And if you feel like you can go find the quarterback elsewhere, Blaine Gabbert's your guy, playing Blaine Gabbert the rest of this season, he gets the reps, he understands the offense, you don't know Carson's future. Carson walks, Blaine Gabbert's the guy. If Carson stays, Blaine Gabbert learns from him. It still feels like a bit of a stale team. And I'm speaking to this from a fan's point of view. I visit with fans. I talk to people in the community. I'm at church yesterday morning. Very few were excited to go run to the Texans-Cardinals game. They're like, yeah, we've seen them. Eh. Or you have another team? No, we're just not going to watch today. I get what's going on, like in Green Bay, you're watching Brett Hundley, and Brett is really struggling. There's no other way to put it. There's no other way to put it. It's a hard watch. So you don't know if the kid is going to make it. You don't know if Josh Rosen or Sam Darnold, or down the list of quarterbacks that could be taken in this next draft, Baker Mayfield, if any of them are going to be the answer here. But I've got to tell you, the receiving core has been beyond disappointing to me. And you've got to determine with that first round pick, are we better off with Blaine Gabbert at the controls for the long haul? And, you know, for one game, he was okay. He was okay. I'm not going to sit here and crush him. We've got college football on the other side. This is a huge week. I mean, this Territorial Cup game, these are two teams that, again, aren't ranked. Go back and look how many times through the years ASU and U of A play one another and they're both ranked. And you're going to find very few times. I think the number is one in the last 23 years. That's a number I want to say I'm right on from last season. Someone gave that to me. But we'll get into that on the other side of the college football and a few other things before we get up to Brandon McGee coming up in about 15, 20 minutes. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, let's shoot over to the college side of things now for a bit, the college football end. And it is Territorial Cup week. So for those of you that are ASU fans and U of A fans, this is your week. This is your week where you can put it all out on the table. You can debate whether this is the biggest rivalry across the country. You can talk about how you have split households, how much you hate the Scum Devils, and how much you don't like the Kitty Cats, and cats lick themselves, and, you know, all the stuff that goes on that I've heard through the years. You can send out the 20 jokes to your friends in the office place, and you can go through all that stuff. And I will sit here and do some of what I've done through the years on this because I've wanted to see this actually become something that was a thing outside of Arizona. Because, I don't know, there's a lot of people that went to Arizona and Arizona State that live outside of this state. There's people that would like to see these two programs become relevant on a national basis when they are not. A rivalry is not two teams that aren't in the top 25 every year. A rivalry is when you have two schools that are on a national plane like Alabama-Auburn, like Ohio State-Michigan, like Washington-Washington State this year. It is not a rivalry when one team is constantly good and the other one is constantly bad, like Oregon-Oregon State. Arizona-Arizona State has just been two teams that are mediocre. So in our little state, this becomes a big deal for the one day. And nationally, you tell me, this game is on Pac-12 Network in the middle of the afternoon. Tells you all you need to know. Pac-12 Network, middle of the afternoon, equals tiny, tiny, little, itty-bitty audience.
I don't mean to interject.
Sure.
But I knew you'd ask me about something before the end of this show.
Maybe.
So, do you know what's happening around the same time as ASU U of A on Saturday?
I was wondering if Alabama Auburn's at the same time.
It is an hour earlier.
So this game's going to kick off with nobody watching.
I believe Alabama is at 1:30, Alabama Auburn, and I believe the Devils start at 2:30.
Okay, wait a second. Now you got me.
So that would mean Alabama Auburn will be on CBS.
Yep.
With huge implications for both of those teams, not just for the SEC championship, but for the college football playoff, and just the fact that the Iron Bowl, when you talk about rivalries, since I've actually been to an Auburn-Alabama game,
yeah,
is one of the most intense, fun, true in-state rivalries that you'll have anywhere. It just sort of shows, as you mentioned, that we really like ASU U of A in terms of the Territorial Cup, but yeah, you know, clearly the decision makers who put games on certain networks don't feel the same sense of urgency to blast that across the country as some of the Sun Devils and Wildcat fans do.
Okay, let me give you an example. So I just went over to ESPN while you were talking. I was listening to you. I wasn't being rude because I wanted to see the other games that are on.
You were multitasking.
Yeah, I can do that. So Saturday's schedule is up, and they still have Arizona at Arizona State as TBD.
On time?
Yeah. It was announced a week ago. It was announced A week ago. Okay. So they have TBD for ASU U of A, which was announced a week ago, the kickoff. And so it's going to be in the afternoon, as you said. And you've got Alabama-Auburn that's going to kick off at 1:30. You're going to have the Ohio State-Michigan game.
That's in the morning.
That's in the morning. So it starts at 10 a.m. That game's going to go to about 1:30.
Yeah. I mean, if you're a big-time college football fan, from 10 in the morning until around 5, 4 in the afternoon, your schedule's set. That's a nice little doubleheader.
And then in the afternoon, if you felt like you wanted to flip over, you probably could. But you've got to deal with the Pac-12 network. Stanford plays Notre Dame at 6. So, you know, you've got a window there where I guess if you really want to try hard enough, when I tell people it's on Pac-12 Network, actually I had a friend of mine who's a season ticket holder, sold his tickets to the game, and he said, what time's the game? What channel's it on? I said, it's on Pac-12 Network. He says, oh, I'll just listen to it on the radio. You know, I'll go for a walk and listen to it on the radio. A walk? Radio? Really? 2017? And this guy's got money. This is one of those deals where he just doesn't want to fuss with it. And, you know, people on the ASU and U of A side, and I think more on the ASU side, U of A just cares about their basketball team. Football's fine. They have a Heisman Trophy guy next year they're going to be able to push, and Khalil Tate, even though his Heisman run came to an end up in Eugene on Saturday. I think it's more the ASU fans that get all worked up about, you know, we don't get respect and we don't get this and we don't get that. And that's what brings me over to Todd Graham. It's just really interesting that UCLA fired Jim Mora, who, by the way, beat Todd Graham last week. But they fired Jim Mora yesterday, and they're already making a push to go after Chip Kelly. Chip Kelly met with Florida, didn't accept anything from Florida, got back on the plane and said, thank you very much for playing. His agent has ties to UCLA. So UCLA has already said, we are going to go after big game. We're going after big game hunting.
And that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it, for Chip Kelly? I mean, he has so many recruiting ties in California, and UCLA is a school that has good football tradition.
Not great. It's a basketball school, but it's got some.
But, I mean, you don't have to. It's not hard to get elite blue-chip players to play at UCLA. It's a lot easier to convince a kid to go to UCLA than it is to go to ASU.
No, that's right. That's right. And so the situation there, Troy Aikman is on their search committee. So, you know, they're going to go after big game hunting. I understand that. It's really come down to this. We have sat here from the end of last season. U of A is going to a bowl game. Rich Rod is not going anywhere unless Rich Rod decides he wants to go somewhere, which I would never rule out with Rich because he has flirted with teams before. And this year in the SEC, there's going to be, what, Eric, 6, 7 jobs that are going to come open? And if you go to Arkansas, you're going to triple your bank anyways. And even though it's Arkansas, you're going to be just fine financially. Tennessee is not Florida, but these are all really big jobs. So, Rich is going to be in Tucson unless he decides to leave. I would be stunned if anything happened with him from the university's part. ASU is sitting here now. They are bowl eligible. They're going to go to Las Vegas. They're going to go to El Paso. They may go to San Francisco. I don't know. They're going to go to a third or fourth tier bowl game. But for some people, all they hear is the words bowl and game and assume that that should be accepted. The team last year just missed out on a bowl game and got completely destroyed by their arch rival. There clearly, to me, is more at stake for ASU in this game than there is U of A. I'm sure there's people on the U of A side that would disagree with that vehemently and say, oh, you're disrespecting us. No, you've pretty much achieved what you could do. You didn't even start the year with this Heisman Trophy quarterback. You've got some buzz now around your program. ASU on the other side of the hand, they can tell me, and they have told me even as late as last week, we're going to have 16 starters returning next year. We're going to be really good. The worst thing that could happen is the plug gets pulled. But you tell me, if you lose to U of A, ASU fans, you're going to want your coach fired. That's how it's been. That's how it's been through 25 years of me being here. The only measure of success for you is what you do against somebody from Tucson, rather than, I don't know, how many times were we ranked in the last 2 years? The answer is zero. If you beat U of A, you're not going to be ranked. I thought they'd get ranked after Washington, but clearly the people that saw the Washington game saw what I saw, which was a kicker that just missed a couple of field goals. But of course, I'm hating. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm the one that's bringing up the 800-pound elephant in the room, that if you want to push this thing to a national level every year, not once every 20 years, last time you're in the Rose Bowl, you might want to try, and they're doing it to their credit. Next year, they have Michigan State in game number two. That is awesome. I'm so pleased to finally see the corner turn the last few years. Notre Dame in preseason, Wisconsin. There's been some movement there. So if they lose next Monday, I don't know if it'll be next Sunday. Like, Jim Moore lost Saturday night. He was fired the next morning. Fired him. If the Sun Devils at halftime are down big in this game, at halftime, fire him. If they're not down big at this half game, this game at halftime, Rich Rod's not going to go anywhere. So there's clearly, in from my view, a lot more riding on Todd Graham and Arizona State to come out and win this game and win so convincingly. You know, they like to tell me about the discipline and all that stuff. And when I see Chase Lucas doing this, and it gets 15-yard penalties. And Todd's trying to nip it in the bud. But when I see the referees have it in for ASU question mark after the USC game, you got to be bleeping kidding me that somebody would even suggest that. So enjoy yourself with the game. We'll talk about it during the week. But understand the big picture on this. Yeah, this may get you in with your golfing buddies that you go against every year, and you guys have your little wager, or your families have this little wager, because this is how it's always been. Wouldn't you like to be playing in a game where there was something on the line other than, I don't know, we can either go to Las Vegas if we win or El Paso if we lose. Maybe we get to go to Albuquerque if we win. No, that's not what we're talking. That's not where you want to be. And unfortunately, that's where it's been for all these years. And I think if Ray were sitting here and had truth serum in him, he'd be nodding his head. And if Hickey had, he'd be saying the same thing. They'd both, the athletic directors, be nodding their heads. I don't know about the school president at ASU, but I do know that the ADs, I think, would both be nodding their heads that we expect more than El Paso and Las Vegas and be in this little every other year we're going to this little bowl game and that little bowl game. Foster Farms is for chicken, not going to San Francisco. Vegas Bowl, been there, done that in that little stadium. Oh, it's a great experience for the kids. I don't know. Maybe try going to the Alamo Bowl or a New Year's Six. It's just a thought. Aim higher. Going to get to more college football, back on the Cardinals, some Suns too, before we get to Brandon McGee. I'm Brad Sussmat. So a little bit of some other things going on in the Valley and across the state that we want to get to. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. Our television show, Brad Sussmat Football AZ on Fox Sports Arizona. First airings tomorrow night before and after the Coyotes. And it's college basketball tomorrow night. Wednesday, we are on before and after Eric Bledsoe. How about that? Eric Bledsoe comes to town on Wednesday night. What type of reception? This is a question that through the years, when we've asked this of a former player who didn't leave on the best of terms, the answer is usually pretty simple. What type of reception is Eric Bledsoe going to get? The problem here is you're going to be able to hear somebody yell at Eric Bledsoe because there's nobody going to the games. Did you see the game last night, all Eric, against Chicago?
I did not, no.
A lot of people disguised as empty seats. Sunday night against the Bulls. Did you watch the 90-point halftime or half show that the Suns let the?
I did not. No.
Last Thursday night.
I did not.
You missed it.
I did.
90 points and a half for Houston Rockets in James Harden. It was dunk city. It was layup city. I was sitting there watching it. I put on Twitter when it was like at 65. Suns may be giving up 70 or 80. No, they gave up 90. But because they're the Suns, all hope. They won again last night. They've won two in a row. Break them up.
The Suns have not been appointment viewing for me recently. I usually do try to either catch the highlights on SportsCenter or with the magic of Twitter, you can if anything big happens in any sort of sporting events, I can just scroll through my timeline and see what happened. But I do know that they are on a modest two-game win streak.
Two in a row.
Which is horrible. We don't want them winning. This is just like last
about?
Year. No.
What are you talking about?
No.
What do you mean you don't want them to win? Oh, we're hating.
Follow the timeline, please.
The timeline.
Please follow the timeline. Please.
We want more 90-point first halves. No, but Bledsoe's coming to town.
Yeah.
So, you know he's going to get booed by the 5,000 that are there. Actually, they're going to announce 12 or 13.
I'm actually more excited to watch the Greek Freak.
Well, that's true.
I can't say his name. I just call him the Greek Freak.
Well, but let me just stick on Bledsoe for a minute.
And the Bucks are a pretty interesting team to watch.
Oh,
too.
They are. But Bledsoe has found himself. The Suns did him a favor. They got him to the team. And in the hindsight of all this, it again speaks to the Suns. I don't want to say rolling over. But I think Marcus Morris is in a better place now in Boston than when he was here. I think Markieff is in a better place now in Washington than when he was here.
Sure.
I think Eric Bledsoe is in a better place now. So the Suns have somehow managed to find ways, rather than shipping him to purgatory like Atlanta.
Oh, look at Goran Dragic.
Goran Dragic. There's another great example. Ship him someplace where, you know, go to Minnesota and freeze, but you'll be with a really good group of players. I mean, they sent Marcus to Detroit. It didn't quite work out as I would like to see some of these guys that make life hard on the Suns go to some place and just not have success. That sounds really harsh and really mean-spirited, but the Suns have become a place that if I'm not happy, I'm going to go roll in there and I'm going to say what I'm going to say, and eventually they're just going to trade me out of there because they're going to have to. And it's really bad to point to three guys that have found their way out of here. For different reasons, I'll admit that. But they've all sulked, pouted, and left walking out the door, basically saying, read between the lines. Okay? That's not what you want out there as an organization. And by the way, that's what this organization never was about before. So they have Milwaukee coming here, and I'll be interested to see the game. I don't really care about Eric Bledsoe anymore, but I know there's some people that I've seen it on message boards. You know, what are we going to say to Bledsoe and signs and all that? He doesn't care. You think he cares? I know it's frustrating for fans, but just don't see it. It was also a weekend where Eric was out. You were out Friday night. So on the high school platform, which we do a lot here, Eric was out Friday night. I went out Saturday night. Jordan and Haley were out Friday. We had a lot of people out Friday night. Andy Silvis was out shooting. Shannon Leibrock was out shooting. Donna Mundy was out. We had people all over the place. And so now the finals are set. I'm not going to ask you, Eric, about the teams themselves. How many future college or even professional players do you think you've seen this year being on the sidelines at games? And they don't have to be going to, wow, to Oklahoma like Spencer Rattler, but has this been a good? Has this been a good
dozens,
year?
Dozens. I mean, if we're just, are we talking high Division I players? Just be, any sort of college?
Are they going to go play at NAU or ACU, or are they going to keep playing after they're done with high school?
Yeah, more than I could count.
Yeah,
and because that tells you about the quality of players that we have now in Arizona.
So the depth is better, right? Is that what you're getting at? We're getting more depth. But are we having more? Like, I was watching Brian Lewerke the other night in the snow. And it was fun watching him. And I think when I see Spencer Rattler with what's going on with Baker Mayfield and how he was acting on Saturday against Kansas.
You don't expect Spencer Rattler to be doing what Baker Mayfield did.
Come on. It's Kansas. Just go do your thing.
It's interesting because Baker Mayfield, this wasn't like the first incident. This is actually like the fourth or fifth incident? I mean, do you remember in the spring he got popped? He was out, public DUI, ran from a cop.
Yeah.
You know, cop tackled him, blah, blah, blah. And then there was a couple other incidents during the, you know, the flag
at Ohio State.
Yep. A couple other.
Nailed the flag down.
You know, a couple
which other, I was fine with.
Yeah, it's fine. But, I mean, it's like Baker Mayfield does these things, these immature things, and he apologizes. And they just kind of like, okay. And then they just keep happening. It's like he's bulletproof. I mean, there was really no suspension after the offseason DUI thing or the arrest, public intoxication, whatever.
But does it hurt his Heisman?
Being sidetracked. I don't think so, but it might hurt his draft stock.
Yeah. I think it hurts his Heisman a little bit.
I don't think so.
He did Saturday.
It doesn't matter. He's going to win.
Middle of the day.
It doesn't matter. It just.
You don't think there's a few guys that are like.
The Heisman Trophy goes to the best player, and he is clearly the best player. It's not even close.
Yeah.
He's going to be first, and then just everybody else, in my opinion.
All right.
But anyway, yeah, I've seen dozens of college-bound players, and it's great. It's great for the state.
Of the teams left, best player that you've seen in person that you believe is going to go on and play well in college? You've seen Centennial. Yeah, you've seen Centennial. You've seen Saguaro this year, I believe.
I have not seen them in person.
Yeah, you can think about it. I mean, we'll talk about it during the week.
I mean, it's probably Spencer Rattler. He's the best. I know they're not playing. I mean, of the teams left, I haven't seen Chandler. I mean, Zadane Thomas is a great talent for Centennial.
And he's going to
Boise State.
Yeah.
I honestly, probably Dom Hampton, the cornerback at Centennial, who's going to the University of Washington, is an incredible player.
Oh, yeah, I've seen
he's
the video you've
excellent.
Gotten from.
Yeah. So,
I'm going to see Rattler tomorrow night. Pinnacle's basketball team is playing, and they've got a sophomore that you've got to see. And I'm going to go do some gym chasing tomorrow night. It's a good story there. All right. On the other side, Brandon McGee is going to be with us. So former ASU, All Pac-12, NFL linebacker, talks about Sun Devil season to this point, what he expects in the Territorial Cup on Saturday. That is next. I am Brad Sussmat. So when I teach at ASU, I teach over at Cronkite a couple days a week in the broadcast department. And when I'm out talking to young aspiring broadcasters who are athletes, I've told them, go look up Brandon McGee. And they would say, why? Well, if you're a Sun Devil, you should know Brandon McGee. He was a two-sport guy. I like athletes that try to accomplish more than just one sport. And I tell high school kids, please go play lots of sports, figure it out. The day and age of specialty, I think, is starting to go by the wayside. Brandon McGee also is very good at doing this. He could be doing shows. I don't know if you are now or not. I'm more curious to know if you are swinging the bat at all. And I'll get to the ASU U of A game in a minute, but here's Brandon McGee. How are you?
Hey, how's it going, man?
It is good to hear your voice, Mr. McGee. How are things on your end?
Everything's always good.
Yeah?
I appreciate life.
There you go. You miss the NFL.
Oh, big time. I miss NFL. I miss baseball. I miss all that.
Are you still aspiring to get back on the field or on the diamond? Bring me up to speed on that.
I'm aspiring to get back into baseball, but everybody knows I've sustained some injuries that's kind of limited my ability so far. So mm-hmm. I've been really focused on broadcasting and even some acting. So it's been really cool.
So the baseball side, bring me up to speed on that. What are you doing? I know the injury side, but what are you doing to try to get back on the field?
A lot of rehab, a lot of running, a lot of back exercises, stuff to really make my core really solid
mm-hmm.
so I can be able to rotate and have that many swings. Because baseball, you have to take so many reps in practice and in the games that you have to be really stable to be able to do that.
And why don't you bring everybody up to speed on the injury and how it came about and how you're coming back from it?
I can't be specific on the injury. It just came from too many hits playing linebacker
mm-hmm.
and too much torque swinging. And
mm-hmm.
and people may not know, but I was playing both sports at the same time
yep.
when I was in the NFL. And then I would go straight to the minors. And in doing that, it was just a lot of just wear and tear on my body.
And when the baseball side of it, the Red Sox had you, right?
Yes, yeah.
And so are you still, bring me up to speed on, does someone have your rights still, Brandon, or are you just completely free?
Yeah, I'm a free agent right now. My last year was in 2015 mm-hmm. with them.
Okay. And so, you know, it sounds like you're trying to figure things out. And the broadcast end of things, what have you been working on in terms of broadcasting? Tell me about the broadcasting side.
Man, I'll tell you, broadcasting is so much fun. It's so much fun. When you go on the camera on these NFL Network shows, Good Morning Football has had me in a few times. Mm-hmm. I've been doing some NBC Arizona stuff and some other shows here and there, and it's awesome, man. I love going on, talking about sports or talking about everyday stuff.
The everyday stuff in sports has kind of crossed the line a few times here in the last 5-6 months. Doesn't matter if it's kneeling or standing, or if it's LeVar Ball against Donald Trump, or Marshawn Lynch and Donald Trump, or I mean, it's every day I could be sitting here. When I teach this afternoon over at Cronkite, I got a whole laundry list of stuff that just happened in the last 48 hours in the news cycle. It doesn't stop.
Never. Every time I check my Twitter feed, something else.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Talking with Brandon McGee as we get ready for the Arizona State and Arizona game. All right, fill me in your point of view. When it was ASU, U of A week, did the intensity go different for you? Lots of players through the year said, oh, no question, Brad. Others said, you know, it was another game up until game time. Where do you come down on that, Brandon?
Shoot, no question. My preparation for every week was, you know, ridiculous anyway. Like the time I spent watching the film and getting the team ready, all that stuff. But U of A week, I mean, I got excited when you just brought it up right now. Mm. Like it brings up a whole different just attitude towards them. And everybody knows, I even got a quote about it. Like, I don't like these guys. Like, I want to beat them not only for the team, but for the fans, man. Mm-hmm. Like the fans, like it's huge for the fans and the whole community of Tempe and Phoenix and all that, that the win is humongous. So I think it's a way different standpoint than just any other game. It's hate week.
Where did your hate come from towards them?
And then nobody asked me that question because I came from California. So I only knew about the USC-UCLA rivalry.
Right.
I get to ASU. We played in my freshman year. I was like, yeah, okay, it's a rivalry. I see the fans don't like them, blah, blah, blah. And then we played them in Tempe my sophomore year, and they put that flag in the middle of the A. And after that point, I just lost all respect for these guys. Hmm. And that's when it made it a rivalry for me personally. You know what I'm saying? And then that's when we went to Tucson my junior year. We blocked those two field goals with James Brooks. So then, yeah. But that's when my rivalry really started, when they put that flag in my A.
Okay, do you have anybody that was on the U of A team when you were at ASU that you were friends with, and that week it was over, it was off, no friends? I've heard that before.
Oh, Matt Scott. Matt Scott.
Yeah, the quarterback.
He was our quarterback, yeah. He was our quarterback at Centennial, and then we played him at U of A. Yeah. Yeah, no friendship there, no.
And when the game is over, shake of hands or walk off the field? I mean, there's got to be some sportsmanship somewhere, Brandon, in all this. Can't just be be riddled with hate.
No, when I won, because we beat him in Tucson my senior year, I went up, shook his hand. Yeah. I was happy. Yeah. I had the cup in my hand with Will Sutton, went over there, shook Matt Scott's hand, and, you know, hey, good game. You know what I'm saying? I'm cool. After the game is over, I'm cool, because I really don't hate anybody.
Yeah.
It's all one of the week and for the community. You know what I'm saying? I just live it up.
Brandon McGee.
That's my perspective.
Talking with Brandon McGee, former Sun Devil linebacker, a National Football League player, baseball player as well. As we look towards this Saturday's game with the Wildcats and the Sun Devils, what do you make out of it, just X's and O's?
Well, everybody knows. We're going to have to stop that quarterback. The guy's hot right now. And we need to stop him. But the thing that's good for ASU is our defense has been playing as one unit, and our linebackers are doing really good, and the tackling is looking good, and then our quarterback is looking good. Like, so I think coming off that big win at Oregon State and the other few wins that were big during the season, we should be ready. It could be one of the best rivalry games that we've seen in a while between U of A and ASU this coming Saturday.
I would love to see the two schools ranked at some point playing each other. I think when you played them, you were ranked, if I remember right. But
They were ranked.
So it would be nice to see both schools ranked playing one another at some point, kind of like Alabama and Auburn, just me looking at it objectively. You know what I'm saying, Brandon?
Yeah, add a little bit more, you know, just pressure on the situation, like if a bowl game is in hand, like a really big one, sure. Ranking. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Sure. How about Coach Graham and the conversation about whether he should come back or not? 6 wins this year, they're going to a bowl game. Should there be that type of dialogue, and is there pressure on him in this game from your point of view?
I think outside looking in, everybody puts such a pressure on any coach, because even when Harrison was my coach, there was a lot of pressure on him to win this game.
Mm-hmm.
My perspective on Coach Graham is, because I know him personally and how he coaches, the guy is an awesome coach, guys. And it gets me sick when I go on Twitter and I see all the hate and the bad talk against him. And you know what I'm saying? And then, like, when he has these losses, especially in the beginning of the season, I'm like, guys, let the team play out. He's been recruiting. He's been building a program, a solid foundation. Look at these students' grades. That's the most important thing of college football. Are these guys getting the education? Because after football, what are these guys going to do?
Mm-hmm.
That's what they, you know what I'm saying? So the education is even better. The team is getting better. I don't think there's a problem with Graham. I think we should sign him again.
So if they win the game, there's no question. If they lose the game, do you understand these fans that come out of the woodwork and the pressure of saying 6-6?
Yes. I do see that happening. And the bad thing about that, it's not in my control,
yep,
and it's not in Graham's control. It's all about the head guy. So, yeah, but I can just say my part, and I think Ty Graham is a hell of a coach.
Good stuff there, Brandon. Appreciate the time and insight. Good luck on your comeback, all right? Stay in touch.
Hey, thanks a lot, sir.
Appreciate it. There's Brandon McGee with us. It was good. It was really good. Before we get out of here, so... This has not, what we're about to show you has not happened yet here in Arizona. Eric, have you seen this video yet? Have you, yeah, you've seen it? All right. This hasn't happened yet in Arizona, but I think it may here in the next few years. This happened this morning in Atlanta. The Georgia Dome, they have replaced it with the Mercedes-Benz Dome. This is the Georgia Dome, and this was just a few minutes ago. It looks really nice. And here's this building with a lot of history and tradition and heritage, and like a cake. I just bring it down.
Well, and you see what's next to it, their beautiful, shiny, new Mercedes-Benz Dome or whatever they're calling it in Atlanta. So they're going to probably turn that into a parking garage or maybe some condos or something.
They're going to have to wash it off, too. It's not good. It's a progress is what we call it. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. Thanks for checking out this podcast on Sports360AZ.com, brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers.